for my culture, 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 culture. Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we are continuing the conversation, the controversy, really, surrounding this whole freezing schools issue. And, we thought that it would be best for us to get some context about how we are at this place, that in 2018 now, we are still dealing with a situation where you have a number of schools that don't have working heating system and whatnot. Now, my colleague, Dr. K, had talked about it yesterday, and I've heard the conversation that many of you talked about. This is a human rights issue. This is a travesty. This is a tragedy. And it's all unfortunate. You're doggone right. But it's hard for me to see, and it's hard for me to believe, that these things just happen by happenstance. That when you're dealing with such major, major systems and institutions, whether it's the school system or whatever system, that we have to start to look back. We have to slowly figure out, okay, we're at this point. We could take the road of we're going to blame everybody, or we could take the road of, okay, let's do the thing that speaks volumes, which is dealing with the money. And tonight we're going to do our best here on For the Culture to look at the money situation that's surrounding the freezing schools controversy. Now, also, we have to bring in someone who can give us some insight, considering that we've been a part of this, kind of going through this situation of education and the inadequacies of education for many, many years. So we are happy to have back on the airways of WEAA. She served in the highest office, and she went through the ranks of public service here in the great city of Baltimore. And we're happy to have her on tonight to talk to us about how do we get to this point and get her ideas that I haven't heard yet. And I haven't heard her really speak on it publicly, so I'm happy to have former Mayor Sheila Dixon on the line. Good evening, Mayor Dixon. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Faraji. I'm great, and it's great to hear your voice. And we're starting a new year with some exciting energy.
Yes, ma'am.
And hopefully my resolution has been to eliminate toxins from my mind, my spirit, and my surroundings. And so the topic that you're talking about is interesting because, you know, the one thing that we need to have in our schools, particularly in the wintertime, is heat for the students and the staff.
So, Ms. Sheila, I don't understand how people act as if, I don't understand, as if we didn't know that, like the Game of Thrones, we didn't know winter was coming. Winter is coming. Why wasn't there a Jon Snow of Baltimore to tell us, hey, winter is coming, we might want to check the heating system? Why didn't we get to that place of not? Why is it just becoming an issue in the dead of winter instead of having a conversation and kind of a checkup about the on these systems earlier in the year?
Well, it's like anything. If you own a home, or if you're renting a home, or wherever you live, you should get these things checked at certain times of the year so that they'll be ready and prepared for those seasons. If it's air conditioning that you're fortunate to have, and the various types of heating systems. I also know that we have an old, a number of our schools are old, but it still doesn't matter how old the schools are. I have an old home, but every year, springtime, I get a check. Fall, I get a check, my heating system check, so I can be prepared. So I guess the question is, you know, and I don't believe that we're just taking this for granted or the school system's taking it for granted, but people need to have not only that foresight, but you have to really stay on top of it, and you have to be prepared so that when this weather did hit, even before it hit.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking, when school let out back in, what, a week and a half ago?
Yes, ma'am.
2 weeks ago, and we all watched the news. I watch the news particularly to see what the weather's going to be, knowing that when we come back into schools, someone should have gone in those schools beforehand, knowing that it was a change, because you know how weather can be.
Sure.
You know, we could be 80, 70 degrees in November. Well, it was already forecasted that we would have this very cold season. So during the holidays, why didn't folks go in there to begin to check to make sure that when these kids entered school, that the heat was on, that it allowed a couple of days for the schools to get warm? It's just like when you drive around the city and you see all the lights on in the schools, because I wonder why we have so many lights on in the school. Why didn't we do that ahead of time?
Right.
And someone should be keeping an inventory of those boiler systems that are in terrible shape, that are old, as well as when we started consolidating schools and downsizing schools, and you have multiple schools in certain buildings, or you're only using a part of schools. You know, you're not using the entire school, you're using half of the school because of the population. Then you need to then accommodate and make those changes to assist the downsizing of the school or the shifting of the type of the school, not just keeping, you know, the same boiler system when you downsize. And I don't think a lot of that was done.
Well, Ms. Sheila, with all due respect, I don't think it was done either. I think that at this point, we know it wasn't done because you have, about six schools. Wood Home Elementary Middle, you have Elementary Middle Alternative Program, you got Frederick Elementary, you have some issues at Matthew Henson. I mean, they have all of these schools that are suffering. Here's the big question. First, who is responsible for this? Does the school system, and based on your understanding of how the situation works, does the school system outsource the burden of responsibility on an independent company, or is it something that the school system takes control of?
It's a combination. You have contractors that work for the school system under the leadership of the Department of Maintenance and Facilities.
Okay.
So you have a director who has staff who handles all of the maintenance in the facilities, and they also have contractors who work with them as well.
So there isn't any one particular contractor that the school system reaches out to?
Usually there's multiple contractors who work with the school, so it's not just one. Because, for example, one of the contractors who's actually a member of the MCA, I know, is one of their plumbers and probably handles heating, et cetera. So it's multiple companies that do it.
Okay.
So that you can have them working potentially, you know, possibly at the same time, along with having facility staff for the school system that go out and who are responsible for the schools as well. So you have contractors and you have facility people that work on the schools.
So we have a group of folks that are in, and I'm assuming that the school system would naturally communicate with these contractors every so often just to make sure, because again, the seasons have changed and the seasons are will continue to change. That's how the earth works. Given that these contractors are pretty much on hand, they have to be making themselves available at pretty much all times, because we have an abundance of school buildings. We have 85,000 or so students in the system that are going to these buildings. So these contractors aren't quote unquote taking a break, taking a weekend off.
No.
Okay.
No, they don't take breaks. They don't take a break off. And they usually, within those contracts, they are, you know, called for emergencies, et cetera.
Gotcha.
So no, they don't take a break. I mean, and believe it, I mean, most of these contractors who do heating, who do plumbing, electrical, all of that, generally are on call. And during this season, in particular winter, they're probably on call just like any other private companies that you have to call on for your own home or condo or apartment complex.
Now, Ms. Sheila, I got to ask you this question just because I know some folks would say, well, look, we've been dealing with infrastructure issues within the school system for many, many years. And even when you were serving as mayor, you were dealing with this. How come we have yet to see any real change from this point or even before we got to this point? How come it still doesn't seem to be any real change on how the school system is taking care of the buildings? Some folks would say, well, look, you know, when you know, we were getting these problems when Mayor Dixon was in office. What would you say to that?
Well, I would Google and see how often the heat was off in the schools when I was mayor. I be honest with you, and we had issues with water, and that was before me with using the with the lead in the water and trying to get that cleaned up and straightened up. But I can't recall having a number of schools that are now have to close down because of no heat. I just don't remember. And if somebody remind me, please do. But keep in mind, part of why the whole Century 21 process began under Dr. Alonzo and under my administration was because we realized that we had to, first of all, we were losing population. We had to begin to rethink how we deal with all of our schools. We were losing population. We needed upgraded schools. We had a number of old schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we balance in our neighborhoods and communities, creating new schools, finding resources? And then that's when, under Stephanie Rollins-Blake, went down to the state. And they put together that $1 billion bond money to create new schools. Meantime, keep in mind, we still had to focus on all these old schools.
Right.
And making sure that we kept those up, along with losing population. So here you have a school that has a capacity, and I'll take my school, for example, that they are closing, Northwestern, which the capacity was 1,000 kids. And now you're dealing with a school where it went from 500 to 300 kids.
Mm.
But you still had the same structural issues. So then nobody wants their school to close.
Right.
And so with the loss of population, the loss of the kind of financing that is needed to build new schools, and then the closing of new schools, you kind of have to balance all of that, you know, at one time, on top of maintaining and the maintenance of the schools, which is also very costly.
Very costly. Very costly. And Michelle, I want us to, for folks who just tuning in, this is For the Culture on your source for Cool Jazz and More, WEAA 88.9 FM. Tonight, we have our special guest, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, talking to us about the freezing schools controversy. I'm going to open up the phone lines to give you a chance to chime in. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. And this is what we're going to do, because, Ms. Sheila, as we're talking about infrastructure as we're talking about all of these things, I had a conversation with Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford last year, and I asked him a question about the schools, and this is what he had to say as he talked about the accountability and dealing with money and making sure that the schools were taken care of. Check him out.
You know, I know this wasn't your direct question, but there is a lot of money that goes to the Baltimore City schools that does not seem to get to the classroom.
Thank you, Mr. Lieutenant Governor.
To make it there. You know, it's not the teachers, it's not the kids. Something is happening that is not getting from North Avenue to the classes. I think there should be an outside audit in Baltimore City as well.
And you know, and I know that the city and the state has been, you know, have been going back and forth in terms of budgeting, but also dealing with management and whatnot. And there have been there's an undercurrent, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, folks that are saying, look, you know, maybe it is time for the city to take controls or the reins of the city schools, so that way there can be some more. And I guess, for lack of a better word, you know,
accountability,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, the mayor does have control now. She's got control of the schools. We you included, but everyone in the state just puts a whole lot of money into the schools.
So the mayor has control of this Baltimore City Public Schools at this point?
Yes, she does.
And so there's no more finger pointing. And that was from the Lieutenant Governor, my conversation. That was my conversation I had with Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford. But, Ms. Sheila, he's essentially saying he doesn't even, he's still trying to figure out how the money is allocated, where the money is going, and that he said that we should have an outside audit of making sure the money spent. The mayor put out a statement speaking on the issue of infrastructure schools, the infrastructure issues in the schools, by stating, quote, in addition to state funds that approximate $60 million annually for maintenance, the city of Baltimore has allocated an additional $17 million for maintenance purposes during the current school year, which brings it up to $77 million, and then we'll increase that amount to $19 million next year. So we're looking at an additional, you know, next year is going to go up to $79 million. How is it that this amount of money is being spent, it's allocated for maintenance, and yet we still have 4 to 5 schools that don't have heat in the dead of winter? And then the state is even wondering, hey, what are we doing with the money that we're giving you? Ms. Sheila.
And I never would resist an audit, because for me, audit allows you to see a bigger picture of where your weaknesses and where your strengths are.
Right.
And to have an outside entity look at that and really disclose things that maybe you're not always on top of, or maybe the focus has been in this area versus that area. You've got to be able to not only have the vision, but you have to have the ability to be able to manage all these pieces together at one time. And I think that's where we tend to lack in certain leadership, you know, because sometimes we focus on these aspects and we allow others to kind of direct us versus having our hands in everything. Because you've got to have a handle on what's going on and know that if we get $77 million in maintenance, is it in the capital, or if it's in maintenance, if it's in capital, then that means it's going to a combination of things,
right?
Not just maintenance. And so, you know, so you have to understand it. So outside audit is important. Now that the city, and I think this just happened recently, where the city got their control back, because, you know,
it has. The city does, yeah. According to Lieutenant Governor, the city has control of the schools. And that's, right. He said, that's his concern.
Well, then the city then needs to kind of explain why we're in the situation now where these schools don't have heat And what are we going to do to rectify this, along with continuing to build on the new schools that are being built,
right,
and everything else that's going on? Because, you know, when Rutherford talked about the money that comes from the state and the money that's not going to the classroom, that's a little different than how certain pots of money are being handled,
right,
to maintain the gotcha. Structural infrastructure of the schools.
Gotcha. I want to take a quick. I want to get our callers and our listeners in 410-319-8888. And I know we're going to have a lot of folks that want to chime in on the conversation. So we're asking that you please keep your comments short and brief as we continue to have our conversation with former Mayor Sheila Dixon. Thomas, talk to me. Thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts?
Mayor Dixon, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Listen, one of the problems we have right now with this situation, Faraji, is we have a contractor who was charged with embezzling school funds, and we're still paying that contractor.
What's the name of the contractor?
It's Saperstein and Sons. They were responsible for the boiler system.
Wait a minute, hold on. Hey, Thomas, you got to say it loud and clear so Miss Michelle can hear you.
Who is it, and why are we paying them?
Saperstein and Sons. They were responsible for the boiler system in the schools. This company was charged with embezzlement, okay? And we're still paying this contractor to do work that they never did to begin with.
We'll take a look into that. That's crazy. I mean, if that's the situation.
That's where our problem's at.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Thomas, thank you so much for checking in. Clarence, talk to me.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Nicole, and good evening to you, Ms. Dixon. Therein lies your problem, as far as I can see. You're talking contractors. The city pays that amount of money out to contractors when they should have a full-time staff, hired professionals, hired by the city, whose job it is to 365 days a year make sure that these systems are functioning properly. That's, I think you mentioned $17 million. $17 million in employee salaries who are trained, who are for the professionals who know how to do this thing, is more than a sufficient amount of money. We don't need contractors constantly sucking money out of the coffers of Baltimore City, taking it elsewhere, when that same money could be applied to full-time staff working for the city, whose responsibility is to see that this is done. Thank you, Faraji.
You're welcome, Clarence. Thank you so much for checking in. You know what? That's an excellent point. That's what I'm trying to understand. We're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, Anthony Travis Lee, I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. We are talking about the freezing schools controversy. Guess what? Schools are out today, but what about tomorrow? They got to go back to school. Or don't they? I don't know. Does anybody know? Because I'm trying to figure out where our children go. 410-319-8888. Give me a call. Let me know your thoughts about this as we continue the conversation about freezing school controversy in Baltimore City. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm going to be Jon Snow. The winter's coming.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for riding with me this evening on this cold, cold, cold Thursday night. Woo! But we're keeping it hot and steamy up in here. Tonight, we are continuing the conversation about the freezing schools controversy. We are joined by our special guest, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, on the line as she gives her insight and her thoughts about what to do next. Now, here's what I'm suggesting. And I know we say this a lot, but we really need to do an audit. I played the clip from Lieutenant Governor Roy Boyd Rutherford saying that an outside audit should be done because the state is concerned about what happened. I will say the mayor, Miss Catherine Pugh, said in her statement, quote, I have called on city school CEO Dr. Sonia Santelises and the Baltimore City Board of Commissioners to assess and account for how appropriated maintenance funds are being spent. That's all good, and I'm glad. Here's the thing. When you're asking somebody to audit themselves, that becomes problematic. We need an outside entity to take a look at it. This is long-term now, folks. I'm not saying that we need to do an outside audit while our babies are freezing. That doesn't make sense. What I'm saying, though, is that if you got $60 to $70 million that are being given to the Baltimore City, nearly $80 million being given to Baltimore City Public Schools, and you got freezing buildings, somewhere the money, the ball has been dropped. The money has left the building, folks. And this is not, you know, the onus of responsibility lies back on those who are in power. Ms. Sheila, am I wrong in my assessment of this, that at this point, some heads need to roll? I know people don't like to lose their jobs, and it's an unfortunate situation, but some heads need to roll at this point, Ms. Sheila.
Faraji, I don't disagree with you. I believe that there are necessities, no matter how old something is, the necessity of heat, keeping a building cool, having windows to maintain the heat, to have insulation in the building, to have running hot and cold water, to have toilets that work. These are things that are a necessity in an environment of a school where you're trying to teach young people, when you're trying to have teachers, professionals work in that environment, you have to have that.
Right.
And so Keith Scroggins and his team, he's in charge of the maintenance and facilities. There are people that work for the school system along with contractors. It's just not all contractors that deal with the facilities. There are staff as well. Over the years, it ended up being cheaper in some ways to have contractors than to have staff because, again, we got to keep in mind, Baltimore City is shrinking. Our tax dollars, people don't get it. Just drive out to Baltimore County and look at the population growing. It's probably up to 800,000, 900,000.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Baltimore City.
It is.
And we're losing population even more. And those tax dollars, see, people don't understand how the money is spent and how the dollars are spent. But you also have to have accountability in that as well. So
is the school board accountable for how this maintenance money is spent?
The school board is accountable for how this maintenance money is spent, and so is the city. Because keep in mind, the school system's budget, their contribution from the city, comes through the mayor and the city council. So they also have a say in their school, the school's budget, along with the school board.
Let's go back to the phone lines, and Michelle, I'm glad that you're making this very clear because, this all works in tandem. There's a domino effect. A shrinking population, the taxes aren't coming in, the revenue isn't coming in. A lot of things start to suffer. Let's go back to the lines to hear what folks got to say. We have Travis. Travis, talk to me. What are your thoughts real quick?
Yes, sir. I'll be very, very quick. You know, this is a great case of gross negligence. And, you know, I think that the entire school system needs to go directly to the authority and control of the mayor where there is a committee, maybe a school board with brains that can make decisions because the decisions that they are making now is very grave and it's gross negligence. And you have people like J. Keith Scruggins, who your colleague interviewed yesterday,
right,
who had a very asinine type of attitude as if, I don't really care, you know? And we are paying these people top dollar every 2 weeks to do a job, and they really don't care about our young people, and it's just sad, and something had to happen. And I also think that the CEO of public schools need to be from the city of Baltimore, because I believe if they're from the city of Baltimore, they'll care more about the young people and our schools. You have a wonderful, blessed day. And I just want to say, Mayor Dixon, why are people leaving the city of Baltimore?
Thank you so
much.
And
how can we get more people to come back to the city of Baltimore and live and support the city of Baltimore?
Thank you so much, Travis. Ms. Sheila?
Well, I just wanted to clarify for Travis. There is a board, Travis, that is a school board where the budget, where all these issues come before that board, and they make decisions. The CEO is accountable to the board as well as to the mayor. The CEO is from Baltimore. This particular one is from Baltimore. For me, it doesn't matter where people are from. It's their commitment. And I'm not saying that this CEO is not committed. But there are multiple challenges that is now upon this city. You have issues of facilities. You have new schools. You have population that we've lost. You have schools that are being closed. You have grades that are being changed on kids to pass them along. You have test scores that are being altered. I mean, they are just a magnitude, along on top of a whole host of other issues that we're facing in Baltimore City, that in my knowledge of the many years that I've been on this earth, I've never known us to have so many of these challenges. And I don't know if it's because we allow things to just get out of hand, or we put things in place, and then when a new leader comes in, they eliminate certain things that are working. You know, so there are multiple things that have to happen and that we need to do to get things right. But in the meantime, you know, we don't know what's being projected in the next month or 2 months weather-wise. We got to get on top of this. These kids need to be in school and learning in a warm environment. You know, I love cold weather. It cleans the germs and cleans the air. Everybody doesn't necessarily love it, but I don't want to be sitting in an office or anywhere where I'm going to be cold.
That's true. We're going to jump back in the phone lines, and I want to put it out there that the next school board meeting, this is so appropriate of a time, the next school board meeting is this Tuesday. And it's open to the public, folks. Tuesday, January the 9th, from 5 to 9 p.m. right there at 200 East North Avenue, first floor boardroom. Wow. Guess we should expect a little, somebody should bring out the extra chairs on Tuesday. Hopefully.
I think so.
Hopefully. I think so. Let's go back to the lines. 410-319-8888. Anthony, talk to me.
Yeah, good evening, Brother Roger. Thank you for taking my call, and good evening, former Mayor Sheila Dixon. People down in City Hall, we may be allocated $60 million, $80 million, but who says we're getting that much? And if we do get that much downtown in Baltimore and in the mayor's office, first thing they're going to do is make sure that they get their $120,000 salary. And the next thing they're going to do is make sure their right-hand man gets their $100,000 salary, and so on down the line. And when it's all everybody's getting that salary they're supposed to get, then what's left over is going to the schools. And the school probably maybe got $10,000-$15,000 left, maybe if that much. You know, they never can find out what happened to that $30 million, what happened to that $60 million. Well, that place on North Avenue that I've been down a couple times while my child was going to school, they still have those $100,000 parties. I'm sure they are. And that's taxpayers' money. You know, that a la carte, that caterer that used to deliver parties to them. Everybody have a party. Somebody get pregnant, they have a party. Anniversary, they have a party. Been there a long time, they have a party. He said his bills for them weren't never less than $100,000 when they had parties there on North Avenue.
Wow.
And I believe that. They're wasting our money is what they're doing. They don't care about them children in school.
Hey, Anthony, and that's why we're putting it out there. We need an audit, an outside independent audit. At this point, and that's long term. Again, folks, that's long term. Fix the heaters first. Let's get the audits after that.
Outside? No. They might be outside, but they're gonna know who's gonna be doing the audit.
Oh yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Well,
yes, sir.
I don't trust them downtown City Hall. I really don't, because the first thing that Malley did when he got in office was fire half the domestic worker for downtown. You know, you go down to, if you go to court, it's so dusty down there now because the whole domestic workers hardly even working down there. I mean, everybody wants to get that dollar, you know, and wherever they can get it, they're going to get it. And if it's going to hurt them poor people living in the projects in Baltimore, oh, well, you said it yourself last month about how the money allocated to Baltimore City, first thing they do is feed the pockets of the white folk in the upper class areas.
Yep.
Okay.
Anthony, thank you.
Over. Yeah.
Hey, man, I thank you for checking in. I really appreciate it. Lee, talk to us. You're on the line with former Mayor Sheila Dixon.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, bro, Faraz, the people been asking for an audit anywhere from 3 to 5 years ago.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? So they can find out where the money going. Anytime you use your bank card, you take money out, spend money, you check that bank card every day or every other day.
It's real simple.
See what's going on with your funds.
Hey, Lee, it's real simple.
You know, so therefore, they don't want no audit. I mean, like I say, we talked about it. Brother Darren talked about it. They don't want to do no audit because if it's your audit, they won't find out, well, a lot of that money been mismanaged. But like the lieutenant governor said, they need an outside agency to do the audit and find out what it is. Now, just like you say, I heard a little clip about the mayor was saying it's up to the school board, you know, about the money for the maintenance and all that. Okay, right now, it's below temperature out here for several days. They should have been had an emergency meeting going on, the mayor, city hall, and the school board.
Yeah.
What the hell are they waiting on?
I hear that.
You know what I'm saying? That's a part of two Baltimores we live in. Now, if you do an audit and find out what schools don't have heat and what schools do have heat, you'll find out it's got, like I said, it's two Baltimores. You got the have and the have-nots. The haves is down by Harbor East. The have-nots is coming up towards the city, in the middle of the city. So if you do that audit, you'll find out what's going on. They don't give a damn about our kids. And like you say, they give them failing grades. They fail them, but they give them passing grades. Man, they trying to – I told y'all a long time ago, right now, the African-Americans is like the new Hispanics. The Hispanics is like the new African-Americans. That's how I see it. It's 2018. Nowhere in hell the kids should be in school without no heat.
There you go. Lee, thank you so much for checking in. Leo, talk to me.
Evening, brother Faraji Muhammad. How are you?
I'm good. How are you,
and
Leo?
Sheila Dixon, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you,
okay,
Leo?
Happy New Year to all of you. Listen, we need some solutions. Specifically, I'm asking for public hearings to be conducted on the part of the city council. Public hearings, so people can go on the record, whether they be teachers or citizens or parents, as to what they know about this situation. We're hearing a lot reported in the press.
Right.
We need a formal public hearing, and we need that to be done no later than February of this year. In addition, city, state, or federal grand jury. Let's start with the city, Marilyn Mosby. I think she can call for that if she gets enough pressure. We need a city grand jury investigation, state grand jury, to put people under oath. I mean, we got to hold them under oath. You got to hold them accountable and identify specifically what it is they're saying so that we can document whether they're telling the truth or not telling the truth and decide whether they should be prosecuted for gross negligence, malfeasance in office, and we can go on and on. $77 million in maintenance funds, I agree, should be an outside audit, but it's not going to happen if we don't have documented evidence of what's going on. That speaks to the grand jury. And last but far from least, the Baltimore Teachers Union have known for many years that teachers, when they blow the whistle, have been retaliated against. Now they're talking because of the heat is coming down. But teachers are being retaliated against because they put this story out there on social media, etc., and now efforts are being made to silence them, and they can't be silenced. So let's hold the mayor, the city council responsible, and, of course, our state legislators and the Legislative Black Caucus as well responsible. Baltimore Development Corporation ought to be involved in this. I know it's not commercial development, but if we're talking about Baltimore Development Corporation, our cities are part of the total fabric of the development of this city. Keep up the good work, guys.
Hey, Leo, thank you so much for checking in. Michelle, I want to give you a quick opportunity to kind of speak to that. One, public hearings in a situation like two like this, and two, does the city the state's attorney, does she have the power to start to arrange those type of testimonies?
Well, I think a public hearing is definitely something that should happen. But in the meantime, you have the school board meeting that is on Tuesday.
Right.
And I just believe that that's the forum where teachers, parents, guardians, concerned citizens who are involved in their schools and their community should attend that hearing and find out not only why, but how they're going to correct it so that these kids can make it through the rest of the school year with heat during this winter month. So a public hearing is great, but I think the immediate thing is the school board meeting that's on Tuesday.
It's a big thing. Big first school board meeting of the year, Ms. Sheila, and we have this issue right here. This got to be at the top of the agenda. Valerie, talk to me. You're on the line with former Mayor Sheila Dixon.
Faraji. Hi, Ms. Dixon. How are you? I wanted to say that I agree with Ms. Dixon. Accountability is everything. And there's no accountability in Baltimore City at all, and especially in the school systems. My question is, my husband is an operations manager, and he has a building where he manages. So all systems need to be checked when this weather changes. So if the schools have contractors working for them, who's watching them? Don't they need an operations manager to be assured that things are taken care of, you know, the way that they should be, uh-huh. The repairs, everything's up and running and operational before the kids come to school? It's no excuse for this. But there's going to be a dust-up Tuesday at North Avenue.
I don't even
have a kid in Baltimore City schools, and I'm going. And I'm concerned for our kids. So they're not going to get away with it this time. It's going to be, yeah. So thank you for taking my comment.
Absolutely, Valerie. Thank you for your patience. And as we say, that's it. Ms. Sheila,
I agree with her. You have facility people who are accountable, who are supposed to be monitoring those contractors as well as monitoring the staff that are handling those buildings. But that's correct, you know. And I think that's the issue that has to be addressed. Why were we on top of it? You know, why didn't we deal with that? Why didn't we go and project, knowing that it was going to be cold weather when we entered school, go into the schools over the holiday and make sure that the systems were working so that when they entered the school on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day that they went into school, at the schools, that there was heat?
It seems like a simple thing to me. I don't understand, Ms. Sheila. It seems like an absolute simple thing to me. But maybe I'm looking too deep into it. Look, folks, I got to let you know, though, that here on WEAA side, we truly care about what's happening. We invite you to participate in the WEAA Community Cares Keep Our Kids Warm Drive. We're asking for you to drop off items that we can donate to schools that will keep our children warm as they travel through this winter season. So I still see some children that are not appropriately dressed, even on a cold, cold day like today. You can drop them off directly here at WEAA, the School of Global Journalism and Communications, right at 4909 Perring Parkway. We're looking for hats, scarves, and gloves, and we want to make sure that we keep our children warm as we have this conversation. Let's go back to the lines, hear what you have to say. Wallace, our new caller, thank you so much for checking in. You're talking to former Mayor Sheila Dixon.
How you doing, Mr. Dixon? And I want to start out by talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about the blame game right now. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what actions are we going to take for this.
Oh, no,
to
I don't
stop.
Think we, I think we are beyond the blame games, to be honest with you, Wallace.
I mean, that's what I keep hearing. It's like, what are we doing? Like, this has been a problem for over a decade. And this is not the only problem that's here. Who is to blame? It's us. It's not just like, we're not going to sit here and wait for the government. We got to take action. We should have had our attention on our children from the first place and knowing what our problems were. And this is me coming from, I'm a young man right now. I'm like 25.
That's what's up.
Yeah, and I really think we need to really step up in our community and, like, support if we can support ourselves, we can be strong. That's all I really want to say for real.
Hey, Wallace, man, thank you for checking in, brother. And you know what? That passion there, that's what's needed. Honestly, that's what's needed. That's what the city is needs right now. Let's go back to the lines, see what you got to say. Kenneth, talk to me.
I've never seen a city that doesn't do an audit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the reason why they do it. That's the reason why these politicians take this money, okay? He got a piece of that money. Let me get a piece of that money, okay? In the meantime, we'll probably freeze to death before we get an audit, okay? It's just like these contractors come here in this building. We had, you know, I told you about this before. I'm going to tell the name of the contractor. It's called Wynn. Okay, they come here, they take their time with the work, they never finish the job, okay, and they take what money that is from the city. I don't exactly know how it goes, but I know it's a big cover-up. They covered up Graziano when he was in housing. They covered up just about everything they do in City Hall. It's a cover-up. And the police officer that got murdered, that's the cover-up. Cover up city, Baltimore. You know, and
Kenneth?
That's it.
All right. Hey, Kenneth, thank you so much for checking in. We appreciate it. Drake, talk to us. You're on the line with former Mayor Sheila Dixon.
Several people have stolen my thunder about the audits and Brother Barrels, of course, about other actions. But I want to ask the former mayor, what is the process? I mean, is this like hopeless that we'll get the school system back under the mayor and city council's authority? Is that for naught? Is that loss? And what's the process of moving in that direction?
Well,
two things. Yeah. One, last legislative session, the current mayor did go down to get authority, and I think this is what the lieutenant governor was trying to say, the authority of appointing the school board. Now, there's a formula in place that was done many years ago. The formula, now it's where there's money, the city and the surrounding counties, through this formula, along with the state. So the authority was given the total authority where the mayor appoints the school board. So total authority, the city will never have as long as we rely on, and we're going to have to. You know, people can come up with and say we don't need to, but we won't have total authority as long as we get resources and the bulk of the money from the state. And see, that's the piece that people don't understand. We still get a certain amount of money in the budget from the state. We get a certain amount from the city. Now, if the city takes over the entire budget and can fund the schools, then the city has total authority and autonomy over the schools.
Mm.
But in reality, that's not going to happen unless you now look down the road 10, 20 years from now. If we bring back a million, five people, then potentially we could get that back.
Mm.
But right now, we're not going to. But the mayor does have the authority on appointing those members of the school board. So you have to ask yourself, who are those people who are on the school board?
That's the question, and we're gonna make sure we have that. Dwayne, talk to us. You're on the line with former Mayor Sheila Dixon.
Hey, thanks for the ride. Hey, Mayor, Is an audit something?
Dwayne, all right, we lost Dwayne. Darren,
what he's saying about—I'm not sure what he's saying about the audit, but that should be a given. It shouldn't be a challenge. It shouldn't be a struggle. If it's not already in place, that demand should be made to the school board to get that audit done. Because it's like nobody's listening. You know, again, an audit can be a benefit to the city and the school system because you see where your weaknesses and strengths are, and then you go and you put a plan together to focus on that. Faraji, maybe it might be a good idea to invite on one of your shows Joan Pratt, who's the controller for the city, because she is an accountant and she has an audit department.
Done.
She can explain to you the benefits of an audit. This is one mayor that has never been opposed to doing audits because I see the benefit long-term in audits.
That is absolutely done. And Ms. Sheila, as we look at going into the legislative agenda, legislative season for in Annapolis, what's your recommendation on how to approach the lieutenant governor, the governor, about an issue like this so that way it doesn't become a hindrance 6 months from now or even in the next school year?
Well, I mean, I think you have to go not only to the governor, lieutenant governor, but you have to go before the Board of Public Works. Because you have the state controller, you have the state treasurer, and they're the entities that deal with the approval of funding that goes to the schools, along with your legislators. And so people need to get more involved at the state level and go down and make certain demands on their legislators, and not because, and get them to commit because it's an election year, but to commit and to show, because see, that's the problem. And, you know, and I ran for office, and I've been in public office, and I know the kind of commitments and promises that I've made. But it's time out for people making commitments and then switching up when they get into the office.
That is true. That is true. As we look at this issue, I'm wondering at this point, Ms. Sheila, what can the mayor, the city council do within the next 30 days? We're going to put it out there again, folks. The school board meeting is this Tuesday, right down at North Avenue, starts at 5 o'clock. We're talking about an audit, but what can be done in 30 days or less?
As Brother Cleo said, they need to, they could have a hearing, they could have a public hearing, and bring in the school, the facilities people, et cetera, to give them a definitive plan in correcting this issue, moving forward with the resources that have been given to the schools.
That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. All right, let's go to, let's get our final caller, Darren. Let's try to see if we can get him in real quick. Darren, talk to us real quick.
Yeah, I know you can get me in real quick. It's a system of checks and balances. Right now, they're giving out checks and there's no balance.
Yes,
sir. What you need is you got the Comptroller Pratt, you got the city solicitor who used to be a federal judge, Andre Davis, and the state special prosecutor. Need to hand out some subpoenas. Remember when Robert Rybar was state prosecutor, he went after and charged 13 individuals. Time won't allow me to give you their names. But Gilbert Saperstein of Allstate Bowling Company, Rajiv Dixit, and at least 11 others were found guilty for committing these same types of crimes against our children in Baltimore City. So it's a criminal enterprise that's operating in City Hall and over there at North Avenue. And we have to shine the light on it and then prosecute those that should be prosecuted for their crimes against our children. Mm. That's the bottom line. If we're afraid to do that, then we're a bunch of cowards. Whether we're in City Hall, North Avenue, or on any radio station, if we won't name the names, then bring in a state prosecutor to charge those. And then if your former mayor who's on the line works with black contractors, we can get emergency orders and get them black contractors in there doing what a lot of those Indian contractors are supposed to be doing, but they're not doing down there. And we're afraid to even pin the tail on those who are committing these crimes against our people. And so if she works for marketing with those black contractors, let's get them black contractors some contract, because I didn't see any of them get indicted for their crimes against our children when these 13 others were indicted. And all that's public information for
Wow. There it is. Darren Muhammad, thank you so much. Ms. Sheila Dixon, former mayor of Baltimore. Ms. Sheila, thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule to be with us to talk about this issue.
I'm glad to see that you have listeners who are passionate and that have ideas and thoughts. And prayerfully, folks will be down at North Avenue on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Corrected.
Absolutely. Quick, we got to take a quick break. On the other side, we talk about Essence. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA.